you're the author of the recently published Bougainville Blue. It comes after the extreme success of Mr. Pip by Lloyd Jones. Did you write this before Mr. Pip came out or after?
Yes, I did, actually. I have read Mr. Pip, and it's deservedly doing very well indeed. Bougainville Blue finishes in terms of time where Mr. Pip starts. Mr. Pip deals with the major conflict and all that went with it after the destruction of the mine, whereas Bougainville Blue, the climax of the book and the last chapter, is the beginning of the active rebellion against the presence of the mine and the destruction of the of almost everything. Mine, port, town, the lot. It finishes, Bougainville Blue finishes where Mr. Pip starts.
And you spent a number of years actually working at the mine, is that right?
No, I had my own business on Bougainville. We were cocoa buyers and exporters, artifacts dealers. I flew my own aircraft out of there for many years. But I was very familiar with the mine, of course, and in the early stages I was actually an agent for the exploration company, CRA Exploration.
So how many years did you spend in Bougainville?
15 years altogether. I left in 1980 and went down to Cairns, where I am now. But I went back. I still kept the aircraft, and I was still involved with New Guinea for another 7 or 8 years. The last time I was in Bougainville was just before the destruction of the mine in 1988.
And you were at a meeting where the then, I think, Minister of Mines, C.E.B. Barnes, was asked what was in it for locals.
Yes, I certainly was. It's on my blog, a description of that, but I've also used it in one of the chapters of the book. It was the catalyst, the trigger, for everything that happened from there on. Mr. Barnes, who was the Minister for Territories, was at a reception in the District Commissioner's house that I also attended. And a delegation of local Bougainvillians were there as well. And they said, more or less, if and when this mine does start, what's in it for us? To which the short reply was, nothing. And that's where all went wrong.
The book is fiction, but I notice that the main character is called Joseph Ngui, which those familiar with Bougainville will agree, I think, is quite similar to Joseph Carberry, the late president who recently died. Is he, in fact, based on him, or how fictionalised is it?
No, this is a work of fiction, and it's Joseph Ngui, one of the principal characters in Bougainville Blue, is not Joseph Carberry. I've got a number of people there who I think are more or less an amalgam of people who are actively involved in Bougainville at the time all these events happened. I've got a planter who loses his plantation, which actually happened. I've got a mine manager who's actively negotiating as best he can with the insurgents, with or without his parent company's permission. And I've got Joseph Ngui, the principal character. But none of them are real people. They're an amalgam of quite a lot of people, all of whom were very real indeed.
What motivated you to write the book? Was it a desire for people to know more about what had happened, or simply a desire to be a novelist?
Both. It's hard to tell what does motivate an author. I'm a late-blooming author, if ever there was one. And I'm not too sure what the initial impetus was, but once it started and I realised the direction it was going in, it became very much an attempt to at least paint things as they happened, not as they appeared in the press.
And so what's the main difference between how you've painted them and how the press at the time painted them?
Well, if it's not too much of a cliche, it wasn't a black and white situation. There were faults on both sides. There were faults on all sides. No one had clean hands. No one ever does in a civil war, which is what the Bougainville conflict developed into. But there was much to be said for almost every player in what was one of the greatest tragedies to ever strike anywhere in the South Pacific. the Bougainville conflict, which is still going on, despite what the official statements say. Bougainville is anything but peaceful as we speak.
Have you been back?
Yes, I have. Not recently. The last time I was back on Bougainville, as I say, was just before the destruction of the mine, and that was 1988. But I'm still in contact with many of the people who are there, and I'm very much aware of what's going on.
And has your book been read by any Bougainvillians?
Well, it's early days yet. It's only just been published, but I'm hoping that it will get wide circulation in New Guinea, and I think it will probably be favourably received by the Bougainville people. Whether Port Moresby agrees, of course, is something else again.
And why would you expect the people in Port Moresby not to be so happy?
Because this was the main reason for Bougainville developing the way it did, and the biggest copper mine in the world being utterly destroyed, was the fact that neither Port Moresby nor Canberra were listening to what the Bougainville people were saying, which was very simple. It's our island. You want to mine it, you want to dig it up, what's in it for us?
You pepper the book with pigeon, and one of the things that strikes me whenever I hear pigeon is the use of the word master. To what extent is that a reflection of the type of colonial rule that was in Papua New Guinea and in Bougainville?
Not really. A literal translation of master would be more or less correct as sir, just as Mrs. Would really be a synonym for madam. There's no doubt that Bougainville and the rest of New Guinea were very much a colony, whatever their official title was, but I don't think it had all that much pejorative connotation about it, any more than any of the other terms in pidgin, some of which are not very polite at all, like bugger up for broken.
One of my favourites. Bougainville Blue is the code name for Joseph Ngugi in the book. Is that based on fact or is that pure invention?
No, that's pure invention. The Bougainville Blue is a birdwing butterfly, a really spectacular, beautiful butterfly, very big, about the size of a man's hand. And it's anyone who's been to Bougainville knows all about the Bougainville Blue. But, of course, the other meaning is the Aussie slang term for a fight, which is a blue. So I combined the two, and the book is called Bougainville Blue.
How far back were the seeds of the conflict planted?
The seeds of opposition to colonial administration of Bougainville were planted when the very first Europeans arrived. They were the Germans in the late 1800s. The Germans were replaced by the Australians after World War I, when Australia got Bougainville as one of the spoils of war. The Australians in turn were replaced by the Japanese briefly in World War II, and then returned again after victory in World War II. But a succession of overlords had exactly the same resistance from Bougainville to a foreign presence on the island. It was tolerated, it was never accepted, and nothing's changed.
Have you had any reviews for the book as yet?
I've had one from a newspaper in Australia, but it's early days. The book has actually only been online and available for purchase for about 3 weeks, so I'm hoping for some reviews in the fairly near future.
Did you try many publishers before settling on... I'm trying to think what the publisher's called, actually.
Diane Andrews.
Yeah, before settling on Diane Andrews.
Yes, I tried them all, but they're deluged with would-be authors, as I'm sure you know, and it's very, very difficult to get any publisher to read a manuscript, let alone accept it. So I was very fortunate in finding my present publisher, Diane Andrews, who's convinced me that internet publishing is the way to go, and I'm inclined to agree.
And in a sense, it's a prequel to Mr. Pip, I suppose. It provides the background to what happened.
Yes, it certainly does, and it provides a lot more background than just a simple historical account of the rise and fall of a copper mine. The early chapters go into great details on Nugui, one of the principal characters' boyhood on Bougainville, where I've tried to paint a picture of life as it was before the mine.
And what are your plans now? You've got more books in the pipeline?
Well, I hope so. I've got what could possibly be a sequel. I've been told that sequels are never a good idea, but we'll see how it turns out.